How do you do business with a government that's not yet in control?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The head of Libya's rebel government says the rebels could lose the trust of the people if Western governments don't release billions of dollars worth of Muammar Gaddafi's frozen assets and fast. But at this point, Gaddafi himself remains at large, so countries and businesses around the world are left wondering what to do. For more on the tricky diplomacy involved here, well, let's bring in former British Foreign Secretary Lord David Owen. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, Lord Owen, back in April, the so-called BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, came out and denounced the use of force in Libya. Are they in trouble now as countries start to recognize the rebels and want to do business with them?
Well, I think all those skeptics about the use of a no-fly zone to tilt the balance of fighting have got egg on their face. Mm. And I think this is the sort of interventionism that we're going to have to get used to. I've called it a constrained intervention.
Well, when you are a country who does business with Libya, how do you figure out what to do in a situation like this where you don't know what's going to happen with the leadership, but you do want to have an economic future with the country?
Well, I think that in the early days, you hedge your bets and you keep on board with the existing government. I don't think business is there to make political judgments. They've got to have their eyes open and be aware of what may happen in the future, but try and keep open a dialogue with the liberating and protesting element.
And then once it looks like one side is going to emerge, as it does right now, how does the dynamic change? What are you supposed to do at that point?
Well, you work with whoever's the government of the day if you're in business. And we already recognize the Transitional Council, and it won't be long, in my judgment, before they declare themselves the government of the country, and most sensible countries recognize the reality.
When you were the foreign secretary, did you ever deal with a situation like this where you had one government changing over very quickly to another and you had to adjust your policy toward that government?
Well, I inherited a situation where southern Rhodesia was in so-called rebellion against the crown. We had an Anglo-American plan to try and peacefully negotiate a settlement. But as, of course, we all know, Robert Mugabe, having done an initial reconciliation, then led his country into total chaos. It's a tragic story.
What did you learn from that situation?
That personalities really matter. I came to the conclusion, actually, he would not make a good future prime minister. It was not for my to make the choice, but I certainly tried to engineer a process where he would not become prime minister. But in the end of the day, the people spoke and they voted for him, and we had to live with that.
How prepared do you think these Libyan rebels are to take over the country and its economy?
I think they're very prepared, and I think we're underestimating them. The transitional team began to develop more coherence, spoke to other countries, developed sensible proposals, came out with a constitution, made the decision that none of them would stand for election, which is crucially important in a transitional period, and pledged themselves to have an election with 8 months. Now, if they can achieve that, that would be a fantastic transition.
Former British Foreign Secretary Lord David Owen, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in overseas trading this morning, down a bit more than 1% in Frankfurt right now as we wait for the big Ben Bernanke speech today in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. The question is, will the Fed launch a new round of monetary stimulus to boost lending and spending? On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 170 points to close at 11,149.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The State Department could give its blessing as soon as today for a controversial oil pipeline. The Keystone XL would carry crude from Alberta, Canada, to refineries in Texas. But as Marketplace's David Gura reports from Washington, it's become a key issue for environmentalists.
Environmentalists have organized 2 weeks of civil disobedience in Washington, protests in President Obama's front yard. I got to the White House yesterday just before noon, and it was pouring rain. There were a few families, some tourists, but I didn't see any pipeline protesters.
They were probably in the paddy wagon.
That's Bill McKibben. He heads Tar Sands Action, the group that's organized the sit-in. More than 300 protesters have been arrested. McKibben says the U.S. should not allow the pipeline because of the heavy environmental toll of oil sands production.
This is a really big deal, and President Obama could shut it down by himself and therefore do far more than anything else he's done to usher in a new energy reality.
The Keystone XL is a pivotal issue for environmentalists who have endured a string of defeats in Washington. Last year, a major climate bill collapsed in Congress. Scott Siegel's an energy lobbyist. He says the environmentalists are too focused on symbolism, not real policy.
The environmental community is using their opposition to the Keystone Pipeline as a cat's paw to strike at fossil fuel development wherever it occurs.
It's a tough fight against a project that would create thousands of jobs when unemployment is still high and we're heading into an election year. But McKibben hopes President Obama is listening.
It's the rarest moment of unity for the environmental movement. And I guess in some ways we'll find out if the environmental movement's strong enough to be heard at all inside the White House.
The administration will make a decision by the end of the year. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, move over food trucks. The new thing in Boston is the Sneaker Truck, a traveling shoe store. The Green Street Vault, as it's called, drives around the city selling shoes. But according to the Boston Herald, one old-fashioned shoe store wasn't too thrilled when the truck parked out front. And apparently it wasn't too long before the meter maid arrived. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Power outages twice a week. Factory workers getting sent home with little notice. That's the reality in China.
If we are lucky, they will tell us on Wednesday afternoon that Thursday and Friday there is no power for us.
I'm Bob Moon. Guess what? Power plants need power. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.